Welcome, everyone, to episode 21 of The Bon Bon Show. Today is April 12th, 2026. And on today's show, we're flying up so high as Kirk and I debate who reigns as supreme ruler of the Japanese airline sky. Who will win this bout? Oh me, oh my. Tune in and find out.
Oh, hello, Aaron. Hello, listeners. Here I am apologizing again. This is Kirk. Welcome to today's episode of The Bon Bon Show. This is episode 21. And we're going to be talking about All Nippon Airways and Japan Airlines.
Yeah.
They are the largest international airlines here in Japan. Both of them are five-star airlines. And unsurprisingly, Aaron likes the wrong one.
Nope, the right one.
So, in today's episode, I am going to explain why JAL is superior.
Boo!
So what's up with our rivalry? Is there even a rivalry? Are we going to spend one podcast episode just going back and forth about why JAL or ANA is superior?
I think we just like to give each other a hard time because I think most times we do like the same things, but when we don't like, when we're on the opposite sides, it's like Coca-Cola and Pepsi or, I don't know, 7-Eleven and Lawson or Family Mart. Sometimes when the other person chooses the wrong one, then we like to give them the hard time. So I think this airline is one of those examples. But in the end, I think both of us know that both of them,
JAL is superior.
Whether it's ANA or JAL, are still really, really good airlines. But of course, we have to bug each other about it.
Yes. But yeah, I feel like, as you said, it's like a Pepsi. I think the Pepsi versus Coca-Cola argument was a good one. I've honestly had most of my experience.
Mm-hmm. You have to say which one you like. Do you like Coca-Cola or Pepsi more? We need to know this right now.
I feel like growing up, I preferred Pepsi. I don't drink soda anymore, but I was a Pepsi person. How about you?
Pepsi, always.
Oh, my Lord. We like the same thing for a change. Look at that.
Generation next. Generation next.
Yeah, Pepsi also has a, or had, I don't know if they still do. They had a factory in Jamaica, so that helped. That, you know, there was like a Pepsi with the Jamaica flag on the bottle. So we're like,
oh, that's awesome.
Coca-Cola. We're all about the Pepsi.
Yeah, I got to represent.
Yeah.
That's cool. All right, that little side away.
But yeah, like Japan is really fortunate to have like two really good airlines to choose from. Most of my travel is international to and from Japan. And that's one of the reasons why I prefer JAL. But I feel like most of my local travel has on airlines within Japan has been on ANA, so maybe I just prefer JAL for international flights and ANA for domestic flights. I'm not sure, but I still want to bug Aaron, so I'm prepared to say why JAL is superior.
I've done that international trek between Canada and Japan a lot. I want to say at least 15 times, if not more. So I've used pretty much all options available to me as a Canadian to get to Japan. I'll speak on,
usually you go through what's the Western state in Canada again?
I always have to connect in Vancouver and then Vancouver. Oh, well, yes. Not always. There's been flights that you can connect to in Calgary, which is just south of me, 3 hours by driving. So, Calgary's been an option, but mainly if you want to fly through the Canadian airline, so that would be WestJet or Air Canada, which I've used. And then if you want the Japanese option, then you have JAL or ANA. And then I believe there's some other Asian airlines, too, that sometimes will, depending on their flight path, you can stop in Japan. But I haven't taken any of those ones. like maybe like Korean Airlines might be one of them. And is it EVA or EVA Airlines? I've known some people to fly to Japan on that one. And then you can connect in the US as well, like United Airlines or other ones, but I've always avoided doing that. Just because it's always easier to fly out of Canada, just being Canadian. Because if you have to go to the States and you have to go through customs potentially or other things, so I'm like, I just want to avoid that hassle. So, yeah, I have pretty good experience with all of the airlines to and from Japan, from Canada. And yeah, ANA
For
has just
me,
always been my favorite.
yeah, for me, I feel like most of the time I've gone through New York. So it's Tokyo to New York, and then from New York to Jamaica. That has been useful. I have family in New York, so I could also sometimes get two birds with one stone, so to speak. But I have flown through California,
Oh,
as
okay.
well, on a couple trips when I use American Airlines. So I'd fly from Jamaica to New York. And then New York to, or was it Florida? I forget. It's been a long time. I think it's Florida,
Probably
then to,
California.
yeah, to California, and then from there to, but I don't like it's one thing about me. I guess what you explained about like the connections and it's better to go as a Canadian, blah, blah, blah. I guess it's similar, but I don't like connections. Flying stresses me out a lot. I've never missed a flight or been late to a flight, but I always feel like the next one is gonna be the one that I miss or I'm late for. So the less connections, the less hustle and bustle and rushing through airports, the better. And because of my work, as a teacher and the times that I travel is usually like high season. I try to avoid that by traveling at like 2 a.m. in the morning and stuff like that. But yeah, sometimes it can't be helped. But yeah. But JAL's route from New York, from Tokyo to New York, is the route that I've taken the most. And the times have also been better for me than the JAL, than the ANA option. So, makes sense.
Yeah, I can tell you about my JAL experience. Actually,
Yes, I
JAL
look
was
forward to
the
hearing all the accolades you will confer upon the great Japan Airlines. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Actually, yeah, Japan Airlines did give me a very memorable first flight to Japan. They were who, yeah, graduated university back in 20 or yeah, 2009. And yeah, when I decided to go to Japan, JAL just actually happened to be like the best price because being just out of university, not a ton of money. So I went with whoever was going to get me there the cheapest. And JAL was actually cheaper than, I guess, Air Canada or ANA at the time. So that's who I booked with. Not really caring who I was flying with. I just, yeah, best
When you
price,
get
get
to
me there,
Japan.
whatever I need. yeah, so it was JAL. And luckily, it was a cool. This is the only time I've ever flown on a 747 with the I guess the double decker plane or on like the
See
I
what
guess
I'm
the
talking
front.
about?
So that was a really cool. Actually, the layout of that 747 was they had a lot of economy seats on the second floor. And I didn't know that at first. So when I think when I was booking the flight, I had just booked a seat on the I guess the first floor of the plane. And then maybe when I was doing the check-in or maybe just checking the flight later on, I noticed, oh, this is a 747. I actually there's the second floor. And then when I was looking at the seats, I was like, oh, there's actually just economy seats on the second floor. That's cool. And there was no extra charge to sit up there, just because I was sitting in the economy one. So I was like, yeah, I'm definitely sitting on the second floor just to get, you know, the experience of just walking up some stairs in a plane, because that's not anything you get to do normally, right? And so yeah, that was very memorable. I don't remember, like, it feels like so long ago now. The entire experience was fine. I think for me, I was just like so excited to be going to Japan, for my very first time. that hype just kept me up and just very excited about everything that was taking place and sitting on the second floor. It definitely felt just like a very nice economy section. Up until that point in my life, I've only been on the plane a couple of times, once with my family to Hawaii, and then
not Jamaica.
Not Jamaica.
I need to speak with your family members.
I think that plane ride was maybe my fourth plane ride ever. So it was definitely my favorite trip up until that point.
Probably your first plane ride by yourself, maybe?
First plane ride by myself, for sure. Moving to a new place and just a lot of change. So it was definitely a very awesome experience. So Jao will always sit in my memory bank as the first trip I ever took to Japan, the first time I got to sit on a 747. Actually, the only time I've ever been on a 747 was with Jao.
Look at so you forsaking Jao after giving you those wonderful experiences.
Yeah. I think the only reason why Jao just kind of sits a little bit lower on my list, and I think I would take them more, it's just they're always the most expensive option flying out of Canada. And so
I can't even argue with that.
Yeah. Well, I do look at them every time I want to plan a trip to Japan. It's just, Giles at the top of the price range again. So it's immediately off the list. Though I did go to Japan when I went a couple of years ago before my son was born, my wife and I were looking to go to Hong Kong and then Japan afterwards. And so because I was planning a multi-flight itinerary or multi-city itinerary, I was playing with Air Canada, I was playing with Anna, and then I was like, you know what, I'm going to give Jal a go. I got nothing to lose. Let's see what they were going to price me at. And when I was playing around with their multi-city tool, they happily ended up being the cheapest, best option in terms of connections and delays and all of that time, like from the timing of that and layovers. I ended up getting to go on JAL again. We had to connect going to Hong Kong normally from Canada. Depending on who you go with, you can just fly from Vancouver straight to Hong Kong, which is a really long flight. I think it's like 14 or 15 hours. But because we went with Jao, we actually had to go to Edmonton to Vancouver, Vancouver to Tokyo, Narita, and then Narita to Hong Kong. So we had an extra layover, but that was fine because we got to fly with Jao. The price was right. And then coming back, we got to go from, I think we had to connect with Cathay Pacific from Tokyo to Hong Kong, and then back to Hong. When we flew back to Japan, we were with Cathay, or no, actually we took JAL and then JAL all the way back home after we stayed in Japan for a couple of weeks. So great experience. I love being on JAL. I just think they just get a little bit of a notch down just from the pricing perspective, but in terms of the overall quality of the flight, the food, the service from the staff on board, just their capacity to, you know, if you have any accommodations or any requests or just the politeness. Yeah. And we all know how, you know, Japanese service is, you know, top notch compared to other airline services, especially what we're compared to in North America. I feel like our service is okay, but if, you know, you don't know any better, then yeah, like, oh, this is just what it is. But then as soon as you start comparing it to, like, say, a Japanese airline or an Asian airline, then you're like, oh, okay, our service in North America is maybe not all that great. I would rank high for JAL. Just the pricing for me is just what I would give them. Like, you know, if I'm rating it on a star system, if you get lucky, it could be 4 out of 5, but I think normally for me it's probably closer to like a 3 out of 5, but maybe depending on where you live, maybe the prices for a JAL flight make more sense or are more competitive against the other airlines. But just for me in general, it just hasn't been, unfortunately. So that's kind of why I see myself pivoting.
I feel like it goes down, it's down to those things for me as well. the what you said about customer service, I can probably talk about that first. Like, I've my first trip to Japan by myself in 2011. It was on JAL, and it was just it's interesting because I had JAL part of the way, so I had American Airlines from New York to, I think, California. That was the trip. So it was American Airlines, and the mm-hmm. experience was terrible. And then, like, you know, you switch planes and 2-3 hours later, you're on a JAL flight. And I'm like, the difference between the American Airlines, and I'm not just like pooping on America now, given the political climate, but it was just like, they didn't want to help. And you know what I mean? Like, you're unfamiliar as a new long haul flight person. You know what I mean? Like, I had traveled before, but like, again, you said, I just thought this was like flying is just like terrible or like a bad experience. But then I had that JAL experience just from California to Haneda, or was it Narita? And I was just like, oh my God, like, this is completely different. There were free blankets. Yeah. They, you know, they asked you if you needed anything. Like, it, you know, it was just a very comfortable, pleasant experience. I do agree that JAL flights, their next point, can be more expensive than the others. And my, not excuse, but my explanation is, I feel like you get more on a JAL flight compared to the other airline. So, okay, it might be $200 less or whatever it works out to be. But like, if you go on those flights, the food is terrible, or not terrible, but like less quality. You don't get a free blanket anymore on some of these flights. So you gotta have to pay for a blanket. And the customer service, the comfort, the more leg room, like, there's just little things that add up. And I'm like, okay, I see why it's a little bit more expensive. And if I'm flying, if I'm going to be on a plane for 10, 12, 14, 15 hours, I'd rather spend an extra $100 to be a little bit more comfortable. But if I'm flying for an hour, which is hilariously when I choose to fly Anna, but I'll get to that.
Hey,
and I don't care what I'm on, as long as I get there, then it's fine. So
yeah,
so
that's
for me, long haul is important for the comfort and the customer service and the leg room and just the cleanliness, like the back of the seat on the American Airlines flights keeps me up at night still all these years later. It was just filthy and sticky, and it felt like no one cleaned anything since that plane was delivered. What was my other point? The timing for me is also one of the reasons why I prefer the long haul JAL, where just the times when the flights arrive in New York for me to get my other flights to onwards to Jamaica, it just works out a lot better in terms of the number of flights in my experience and when they arrive. And like Haneda versus Narita, like, there's a lot of little nuances where now that I've kind of, like, what I say, back in the day, like, I feel like an old man again. More international flights used to be out of Narita than Haneda. But I feel like in the last, 20 years, it's now flipped, where most of the international flights, or at least half of them, half and half, is out of Haneda. So, back then, Haneda was seen as the domestic airport and Narita as the international. But I'm kind of worried about Narita Airport and another that's another topic, but like, I feel like they're getting less and less flights, and Haneda is just being expanded and getting more and more flights. They're kind of close to each other, but again, Tokyo is a very huge international area, so maybe both of them can survive. But whenever I arrive in New York, I usually arrive at, like, I don't know, 3-4 o'clock in the morning to avoid the chaos of customs and stuff. And then I'm usually on another flight by 6 a.m. to get to Jamaica by 9 a.m. to start the day. So, again, it just all works out. And I really love the customer service, the cleanliness, the actually working bathrooms and staff who actually respond to you when you press the button on the stupid airlines. Yeah, all of that. I've never flown ANA internationally, so full disclosure.
Yeah, that's fair. I think having experience on both of them, I think you'd be very happy, and it would be the service and the quality that you're getting on JAL. The ANA experience is, I guess it's going to be a little bit different because it's a different company and their, you know, their values and whatever, and how they like to conduct their service might be slightly different, but I think you're still getting top-notch Japanese service on ANA. So I think if you ever were to try it someday, if the timing made sense or what have you, I think you would enjoy your flight with ANA well. And I'm not trying to be biased, being like, oh no, trying to convince you that ANA's better, but I think you would have a good time.
Yeah, I wanna try ANA one of these days. We can switch over to ANA and talk about my experience, where I've only flown ANA domestically. Or domestically? Do I even English? One of those words. So when I lived in Shimane, the two airports I usually use were in Tottori and Izumo in Shimane.
Okay.
So both of them were mostly, if not exclusively, served by ANA. In my mind, because I feel like they had like four flights a day. They aren't like super busy airports. They literally closed at like 5 p.m. like a regular work place. So it was like I've never been to an airport that closes until I lived in Shimane, and I love my Shimane, but it's definitely rural Inaka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like, if I remember correctly, it was exclusively ANA. So most of my flights outside of Shimane, when, you know, like I needed to get to Tokyo quickly, or I think I took a flight to Osaka once and stuff, was all ANA. And those were really great experiences. I wished I could have gotten on one of the fancy, like, Pikachu Pokemon planes or Star Wars planes, but I think those are only international. You're the ANA expert. You should tell me.
Yeah, I know those ones do have the international, those liveries are on the international ones, and I've never even gotten them on. I've never gotten an experience to go on those ones either.
That is the most exciting thing. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying something good about ANA. But yeah, that's the most exciting thing about ANA as a fan of Star Wars or Pokemon or whatever. Like, I'm always admiring. I've seen them at the airports when I'm taking my JAL flights. And I'm like, oh man, wouldn't it be cool if I flew in the R2-D2 ANA and stuff like that? So yeah, that is definitely an appeal. I know it's strange and might be niche, but I would book an ANA flight over a JAL flight if I was 100% sure I'm going to be flying on a R2-D2 plane or something like that. But yeah, tell me about why ANA is so good.
I think, yeah, ANA, I never really paid too much attention to until this would have been after Jet was done, because through Jet we went through Air Canada, because Air Canada had a I left out of the Calgary consulate. Oh, that's what the consulate is in Alberta. It's out of Calgary, and so Calgary at the time had a direct flight to Narita with Air Canada.
Narita.
And so that's kind of where I was flying out of, was Air Canada for a bit. And then when I started going back and forth to Japan, again, I always like to, when I'm researching, I like to look at all of my options and see who's got the better deal, or who's got the better layover situation, or, you know, depending on where I want to go. So I'll just, you know, I'll look at all of them. Air Canada, JAL, ANA, anybody else that might show up. And for a period, ANA was really competitive on the pricing against Air Canada, and so maybe they were trying to, you know, gain customers or get a little bit of a foothold on some of the Canadian flights. And so I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give it a shot, why not. And immediately, like, first flight there from Vancouver to Haneda, which was the nice thing because up until that point, I was always flying to Narita, which when you're used to it, it's fine. It's you got to take, you know, the train into Tokyo and
you get to take the Narita Express. Ooh, my darling.
Yeah, the Narita Express, one of the coolest trains in Japan.
Yes, nice little perk. Yeah, let's continue.
But the perk of flying into Haneda, especially after a long day of traveling and being pretty much right in the city, right from landing and then getting to your hotel or Airbnb or wherever you're staying.
Yeah, within an hour.
Just a little bit shorter is just a nice, nice perk to have because you're just tired. Like by the end of that day, when I get to my place of wherever I'm staying, I'm just like, I'll get some food, you know, chill for an hour or two, and then I'm tired. I'm going to bed. And so it's just nice to like cut that time down. Whereas from Narita into the city and then wherever you got to transfer is just, you know, an extra hour, hour and a half. And you're just even more bagged by the time you get to your hotel. So it's just that Haneda experience was just like, oh, I like this. And who's flying here from Vancouver is Anna. And then on top of just that convenience, the, like you had mentioned, the food quality was so much better. I got ice cream. Like up until that point, I never had ice cream on any flight that I've ever been on in my entire life. And Anna was giving me ice cream. It was still frozen. Like I was like, oh my goodness, this is the best thing ever. And it's just like vanilla ice cream. But that just elevated my experience even more. And you got the blanket. I just feel like the atmosphere was just better. The service was more like everyone just seemed happier, whether they were actually happy, maybe not so much, but at least they were happy when they like, you know, would talk to me. And then even when we were landing and you're kind of like taxiing on the runway to your gate, just the feel good music that they had, the ambiance was just like, oh, this is getting me pumped to be here, but also just like in a relaxing way. It's just those little small things that I think maybe other airlines don't really think about or even pay attention to.
Whereas like, get off the plane, we got your money.
Yeah, exactly. But Anna and Jel does this as well, really, really well. And so I just really like that whole experience. And so since that first experience of flying in and out of Haneda through Anna, I'm like, oh my goodness, this is something I want to continue doing. So while I haven't flown with Anna exclusively since, you know, those years passed, sometimes their flights fluctuate in price and it just doesn't make sense fiscally to go with them. But I will, like you had mentioned, if it's only $100 or $200 more, I usually will the Anna flight because I know what I'm getting is just, it feels like better quality, better service, just a better overall experience that I'm willing to justify the price. If it's like way more compared to like say WestJet or Air Canada, then I'll typically just go with them. But normally over the last number of years, Anna has been my go-to. And one of the really good things that kind of sealed the deal for me being an Anna customer was previous to our son being born, we actually had a flight booked with them. And I know the airlines have certain levels of like tiers of ticketing that you can buy. And I would always just go with like, I think they called it like Super Saver or something like that. And normally you can't really cancel your flights and get like a refund or anything like that. And so I had booked my flight like a long time in advance. And then our son, we found out that we were not going to be able to go to Japan and because we were going to have a son. And so obviously really exciting. So I was like, well, technically my ticket doesn't really allow us to like get our money back or get a credit or anything. And I was like, that kind of sucks. That's like, you know, a whole bunch of money that might just robbery. Go to waste. So I ended up calling Anna anyways, cause I got to tell them that we need to cancel our flight. So they're, you know, they can at the very least, you know, free up our tickets so someone else can buy them. And I had told them, you know, my situation that, you know, my wife was pregnant. We were going to have a baby that we were unable to fly with a newborn. Like, you know, literally we would have been flying out like a week or two later or something like that. Like, it was ridiculous. And so we're not going to, you know, take a newborn baby to Japan right away. So I told them the situation. They knew what kind of ticketing I had, that it was very restrictive in that respect. And I honestly didn't expect anything to be given to me, knowing that, you know, these are the terms and conditions that I have already applied for or had bought the ticket on. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I told them my story. They said, you know what, just stay on hold for a little bit. They're going to go talk to the manager. So I was like, okay, yeah, not having zero expectations of anything. I was on hold. I don't think I was on hold for that long, maybe 15 minutes or so. They came back. They said, you know what? We're going to give you all of your money back. There's no cancellation fee. There's nothing. Aww. They gave me 100% of my money back. And I was like, are you serious? Like, I was not expecting this. Like, I was like shaking on the phone because I was like, had it been any other airline, like a Canadian airline, American, like, whatever, I feel like I would have been out of my money. But ANA was like so grateful, understanding. I was like, thank you so much. Like, I am like, next flight to Japan, I will book with you because, you know, this is such a like an honorable thing to do. And I will like pay you back and just like booking my next ticket with you. And, you know, that's what we ended up doing. When nice. The time was right, when we rebooked to go to Japan with our son when he was 6 months old.
And I met him.
Yeah, you met him for the first time. We booked it with Anna. Nice. And man, the staff on that flight were so nice. That was Kai's first international flight, of course. We took him to Japan for his first flight. The staff were so polite. And they were like, is this your son's first flight? And we're like, yes. And they went to the back and they got him like some little gifts. And then they made him a little card for baby's first international flight. And then they got some of the staff actually like wrote little notes on the card for our son. And so that whole story just kind of like summed up Anna in a very nice package for me, being they were like very understanding of a situation where they could have just been like, nope, your ticket says this and you don't get your money back, so, you know, sucks to be you. They went against that and, you know, gave me all the money back and made our first flight even more enjoyable when we did take our son on there. So that's kind of why Anna stands out to me as just like one of my favorites, because of just those things that they've done over time for me personally, which they didn't really have to do, but they went above and beyond what I ever expected. And so that just gives me like nice warm feelings for them, and, you know, and it pays them forward going forward for me, because I will continuously fly with them to Japan if it makes sense. And so that's kind of just why they kind of stand above. It's just having those memories. And while I do have great memories with JAL as well, it's just these ones are a little bit closer to me, and was something that I never really thought that would be the outcome. That's overall my Anna experience. Just good service.
Before we close out, I wanted to also ask about the points. I know like airline miles and points and stuff is huge. Like, I know JAL is One World, and I think Anna is Star Alliance, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So one of the other reasons why I flew with JAL more is because the points card that I was using back in Jamaica was One World points or whatever they're called, that I airline miles that I could redeem. I never got enough miles to book a proper flight though, but I think that was also one of the reasons when I was like, oh, JAL is One World, this card is One World, let's just keep the stuff together. How about you, did that influence your choice of Anna versus JAL at all?
Anna does make more sense for me, because the main airline that I would fly with outside of to other places would be Air Canada. And then Air Canada is a Star Alliance member. So I do collect Star Alliance, or I do collect Aeroplan points, which is the Air Canada, I guess, loyalty program. And so I do have a couple of credit cards that I can convert my points into Aeroplan miles with. So over the years, I have booked free flights to Japan with my Aeroplan points.
Whoa.
Using Anna. No. So I've actually used my Aeroplan points to book Anna flights. For whatever reason at the time, booking to Anna flights was cheaper in terms of redeeming your points than Air Canada flights were. So I was like, all right, less points, better airline. This is a win-win. that has since changed. I think getting Anna flights through Aeroplan points now is a lot harder. But yeah, I've definitely redeemed all of my Aeroplan points on flights, and I just used not all of my points, but I'm going to Europe later this year, and I booked all my flights through that with Aeroplan points. So my flights to Europe and back for my entire family were free. Besides the tax, I think I ended up paying like $500 or a little bit less for my family to fly. So Anna, while I do have Anna points, because I don't fly with them enough to make it worthwhile, and I think they expire over time when
that's,
I fly
that's
with
what
Anna
always
now,
got me the expiration.
Yeah, that's kind of the point. Is that the expiration on it just doesn't allow you to accumulate. Yeah. So what I do now is, I think when you fly with Anna, you can put in your partner airline loyalty program number. So I don't think you probably get as many points, but I just convert them to my Aeroplan points instead, because accumulating them on my Anna card is just, I tried and it just amounts to nothing, and then they just end up turning to zero. So I might as well just get a little bit on my Aeroplan card than nothing at all. So I think that also helps me keep on flying with ANA as well, as at least I can accumulate something to eventually get a free flight back. It does take a bit of time, but at least my Aeroplan points don't expire because I use them enough and I accumulate on an ongoing basis that they never go to zero.
Definitely.
But yeah, that's a good point to bring up.
So basically, our JAL versus ANA rivalry has just broken down to preference and convenience. The things that they have in common, though, is that we expect great customer service from either JAL or ANA. Both of them are excellent 5-star Japanese airlines. I don't feel, honestly, you can go wrong with either of them. For your needs, as you know, we are both Japan travelers or traveled to Japan a couple of times. I'm living in Japan now, but Aaron visits often. You know, depending on your city, where in the world you are, you know, your income situation or your budget, I guess you can decide which one of them works out for you, but you cannot go wrong with either. I'm still pro JAL, but I respect ANA a little bit more after this interesting podcast episode. I still really want to fly on one of their Star Wars or Pokemon or whatever crossover they're having these days planes. I feel like I would feel like a 9-year-old sitting on that plane if it eventually happens. We should probably look into ways if we can predict or know which of the branded planes are going where and when, and check if they're also domestic. Maybe we can do like a domestic flight or something in the future, but yeah, we can talk about that outside of the podcast. Take us out, Aaron. Before you take us out, I want to remind listeners that you can visit our website at bonbonshow.com. I was going to say .com, but it's bonbonshow.com. From bonbonshow.com, you can send us a voice note. It can be a question, a comment, or anything. We're looking forward to being able to play those on a future episode soon, so don't be shy. You can also email us at contact@bonbonshow.com, and we will definitely respond to you. This has been episode 21 of the podcast. Aaron, take us out.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to us yap about JAL and ANA. You get a chance to go, take it up if it makes sense, and up in the sky so high, enjoy eating some vanilla ice cream. Till next time, mata ne.
Bye bye.